Sharpologist.com.
You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is June 24th, 2019. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast, and happy belated Father's Day to you all out there. A big wet shaving holiday, I think, for Father's Day. Good day to get probably the second biggest one of the year next to Christmas to get wet shaving gear. So if you got anything good or if you want to show off what you got for Father's Day other than maybe a tie or something like that, send me a picture at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com so I can show it off to the rest of the world. It was my first Father's Day as a father, and needless to say, my son is less than 2 months old, but it was a great day just to spend with him, and my wife did a lot of special things and had a nice little dinner for everybody, so it was great. Really enjoyed the time I had with my family and had just a great day overall. And even got some wet shaving in as well. Got to use some of my favorite gear. So I hope everybody had a great Father's Day, and don't forget to show me your stuff if you got something good. So today on the show, guys, we're going to talk about a discontinued Asylum Evolution razor. It's the Darwin. It was actually a pretty popular one. I've always meant to try to get one, but I found out recently it's been discontinued and no longer going to be made. And then we're going to have to talk about the Wolfman price change briefly. Wolfman has gone up and down in price here, well, mostly up for the last probably few years since it's been out, since 2014. And now we've seen a little bit of a price increase with polished models and a decrease with the actual brush models. So we'll talk about that briefly. But more importantly, guys, Mantic 59, Mark has a nice interview with Will of Barrister and Man. That's right, Will of Barrister and Man. If you're not familiar with Barrister and Man, you probably should be, because they do make some great stuff, really different scents and high-quality products. So definitely check this out, this interview. I was very interested when I listened to this interview. I was like, wow, this is really cool. Always enjoy hearing new stuff from Will and Barrister and Man in general. So that is definitely going to be the highlight of the show. And we're going to have quite a few of these interviews coming up for the summertime. As we did, like, I think the last 2 years, we've done a lot of interviews. Mark goes out into the field and goes to a couple meetups. He gets some great interviews for us, and I love sharing them, because it's what better way to do than share them on the podcast for you all to listen to them as well. So we will have that interview very shortly. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. All right, guys, the Asylum Evolution Darwin has been discontinued from Bulletproof Shaving. It is no longer going to be made. There are about five or six of these left, and they're going to be gone forever. Now, I'm not sure the reasoning. I did send an email, haven't gotten a response yet, but I will keep you updated on this one. But the razor has been discontinued, and there's two versions of it. It's a polished bronze, and I think there's a stainless steel or another type of metal out there for this razor. And this, it features that Darwin style, if you ever tried a Darwin, a vintage Darwin with that very unique handle. Kind of a replica of that. Now, if you are a Darwin fan, you love that handle, there are many companies that are still making it. So do not worry. They'll be around. They'll be here for quite some time. So don't worry about that. You'll have a Darwin style razor if you need one, a replica, if you can't find the real thing. But it is a shame to see something pretty cool actually get discontinued. I was always meaning to get one, but I just never pulled the trigger. They're about $220 if you're looking for it. So about mid-range for those high-end razors. And pretty decent reviews. They're a little mild from what I've heard, but if you're into that style razor and you want something a little bit more on the milder side, there is an aggressive one too, I believe. So you can try the aggressive one if that's what you're looking for. So check it out, bullgooseshaving.com. Also, guys, so we're going to talk about Wolfman. Now, I know I'm a big fan of Wolfman razors, always have been. Definitely have listened to a lot of video, watch a lot of videos on these razors. I've done videos on these razors. And I think probably out of all the best razors, the better razors out there, this is up there in the top tier, okay? But there's been some price changes, some controversy going out. Now, I'm going just to say my word on this or say my thoughts. So Wolfman prices have gone up for the polished version of the razors, and and gone down for the actual matted finish or the brush finished razor. And the reasoning behind this is because I'm pretty sure I'll be honest, the demand for this razor is still very big. I mean, it goes up, We sell. They go on the website. They're sold out within 10 minutes, maybe even less, probably like 10 seconds, and they go quickly. I was fortunate to get a couple of them, and by pure chance, when I was just sitting there refreshing my page on my phone while I was actually off. Luckily, I was off from work that day, and I remember I got very lucky on two times, but it took me probably about 30 times to get it. It's something that we've seen coming. Okay, guys. So a lot of people have been saying, "Oh, Wolfman's going up in price. What are they going to do with the polished versions? They're going down." What do you expect? The secondary market is still very high. The Razor is still very. I mean, I'm sure they're time consuming to make. So let's just hold this out, because it says it is a temporary price change. So we'll see what happens. I think he might just be testing out the waters with this one. But you know, Wolfman, the quality's still there, guys. You get one of these razors, it's a razor for life. And these are up the top tier. These are high end razors. So I mean, remember, these are handmade, everything done with the CNC machine and hand polished. The polishing probably takes hours to do. I'll be honest, I took a razor one time and polished it myself, and it took me days to do it with a nice, you know, starting with that progressive sandpaper grip. So what does this mean for Wolfman? I don't know. I really don't know. I think the market's going to dictate it. We'll see what happens, and we'll keep in touch. We'll see if the prices adjust again, but I'm pretty sure this will probably be the final price, you know, adjustment for a while. But just remember, guys, you know, let's say if the demand goes down, the prices go down, right? Great razor, great, you know, great company. And if you ever get a chance, you know, send James over there an email. He'll get back to you as soon as he can with any questions that you do have. If any concerns or anything, always feel free to email me at joe.whatshavingnews, and we'll talk about it. You know, maybe we'll put it on the air as well. All right, guys. Without further ado, let's get on with this interview, because this is what you're really waiting for. And me too as well. It's a great interview, so I'm very happy to share it with you all today. So, here we have Mark and Will of Barrister & Mann.
Hi, Mantic59 here at the Maggards Meetup in Adrian, Michigan with Will Carius of Barrister & Mann.
Hello,
Will, thanks
everybody.
For coming back again.
It's my pleasure, Mark.
Will, for those listeners who may not be too familiar with you, can you give me a quick background on yourself and how you became a wet shaving artisan?
So I started the company while I was in grad school. I started wet shaving a little bit before that because I have very sensitive skin. I couldn't find anything that really worked for me, and I wasn't really crazy about the fragrances that were being made at the time, and so I needed something to pay my living expenses while I did an internship in San Francisco, so I started making shaving soap under the name Barrister & Mann. And while I was in San Francisco, I got very, very interested in fine fragrance and fragrance structure, and decided that was the direction in which I wanted to take the company, and have been doing it ever since.
Can you give me a sense of what kind of changed between the last time we talked and this year?
We've released a new soap base and a new aftershave base. The new soap base is sold under the name Excelsior, and was formulated to correct some of the problems that we had seen in our other bases, or really we had gotten feedback about for some of our other bases. It serves now as our flagship line. It, you know, encompasses Seville and La Vanille and our various other original fragrance designs, as well as nearly all of our limited edition soaps. And the Deltis aftershave base is an upgrade to our original Tonique aftershave base, and is formulated to soothe razor burn better, moisturize the skin better, and just make shaving less traumatic to the skin in general.
Let's talk about the soap base first, because I'm most curious about that. You've obviously gone through, as you just mentioned, a number of soap bases. Is the Excelsior going to really replace everything, or is that going to be one level and then, say, the Reserve as another level?
Well, I don't know if I'd term them as levels. They perform similarly, but they arrive at that result from different directions.
How so?
Barrister's Reserve, for one thing, doesn't contain lanolin. And lanolin, as we have come to realize over the last 6 or 8 years, is a much more common skin allergen than I had originally thought, and I didn't really know until I started getting emails from people. Hey, I can't use lanolin. Do you make anything lanolin-free? And so it was one of those things where I wanted to complete a whole bunch of things in one stroke, and so we developed Barrister's Reserve to resist hard water, to protect the skin extremely well, to do so without the presence of lanolin to avoid drying the skin. And this was adapted into a project to preserve lost or rare or very heavily reformulated fragrances, which is how the entire line has been built out. Excelsior, on the other hand, is meant to represent sort of the next step in shaving evolution, the addition of new additives that we had experimented with during the development of Barrister's Reserve but had abandoned for a variety of reasons. They were things that I wanted to revisit that I felt had a lot of potential, and so they were integrated into Excelsior over the course of its development with some unusual side effects. Excelsior is without question the single thirstiest soap base I've ever seen. I freely admit this. If it's underwatered, it can do very strange things if left to its own devices. But if it has, if it's given a sufficient water ratio, it really shines, and it's basically hard waterproof at that point. At least in my experience, there may be other people who disagree with me.
Is there any plan to offer the same scents in both bases, or are you going to try and keep them kind of apples and oranges in all respects?
They will remain apples and oranges in all respects. There have been two exceptions to that rule, and by the time this airs, the third exception will have been announced. The original was Fougère Gothique, which, you know, sort of lives in infamy for a variety of reasons. And then there was the crossover that we did with Reddit's wet shaving community last year when we did Seville and Reserve, which was really a one-off sort of thing, and Excelsior has basically eliminated the need for that, or even, I think, really any call for it other than from folks who have lanolin sensitivities. And then, like I said, the third one will be announced, and I don't want to burst Brad's bubble, so I'll let him deal with it.
Getting to the aftershaves you mentioned very briefly, I would like to discuss that a little too, because we get into the whole aftershave splash versus balm discussion.
Versus gel
now, that's true. And obviously some people prefer the splash with high alcohol and all the problems that entails.
Mm-hmm.
And then others prefer a balm for their own reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed you're mostly a splash kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you just mentioned a new blend that may be more moisturizing and friendly than other splashes. Can you kind of give me an explanation about that?
This is sort of an offshoot of the original Barrister's Reserve project. The idea, the intent to create an aftershave that, an alcoholic aftershave that is less traumatic.
Which I'm sure you agree, is not the best thing long term for
right,
the skin.
Right, right. And so the way I used to describe Barrister's Reserve, or at least the idea that led to Barrister's Reserve to people, was that for the most part, and at least until the last couple of years, alcoholic aftershaves didn't really do a lot to soothe the skin. They smelled good and they burned like hell, and that was about it. And a lot of people really liked that. You know, they're like, well, that's how you know it's working, or that's how you know you're alive, or, you know, however, whatever terminology you wish to use. But I find balms too heavy for the summer. I have come to appreciate the value of an aftershave splash that has less alcohol than what used to be the industry standard, but is not alcohol-free. I have grown to appreciate the lightness that comes with a moderate alcohol content, which prevents the occasional stickiness that you see in alcohol-free aftershaves and the greasiness that you see, and greasiness and stickiness that you see in a lot of balms. So Deltis sort of represents, as I said, an offshoot of Barrister's Reserve. It's, in many respects, it's less complex a formula than Barrister's Reserve, but it's also easier to manufacture. Barrister's Reserve, and this is public knowledge, or if it isn't, it is now. I can't manufacture Barrister's Reserve in-house. It has to be produced by a compounding lab for a variety of reasons. Deltas can be manufactured in-house. It's more moisturizing than its predecessor, the Tonique aftershave formula, It leaves a sort of powdery finish on the skin as opposed to the extremely soft finish that we get out of the Reserve aftershaves, which, if I'm being honest, still remains my preference, but I know that there are lots of people who prefer our Delta's formulation now. So that's been accomplished through a variety of moisturizing agents and botanicals, and oat protein, which is just the coolest thing.
Oat protein. What does oat protein do?
Oat protein serves as both an anti-inflammatory and skin soother, and as a moisturizing agent. And I have grown to become a big proponent of the use of oats and oat protein in cosmetic applications. And so I'm, in some respects, looking for more ways to do so, because I really appreciate the effect that oat protein and oat materials like colloidal oatmeal can have in skincare formulations.
Another, I don't want to use the word odd, but unusual aspect recently of Barrister and Man has been sort of the tangent of making some of the newer shave soaps or shave products a little more...
Whimsically?
Thank you. A little more whimsical. Can you kind of go into what your thought process was with, like, 42 and Wetsis and how those two came about, and are more like that coming?
Well, I'm a reader. I was a reader as a child. I have a certain thing for children's literature, especially. One of my favorite books of all time is A Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein. I have my grandmother's autographed copy. It's one of my most treasured possessions. But I love Dr. Seuss's work because it's so strikingly original. And I love The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for much the same reason, although I would be the first to admit that The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as a series veers off in a very dark direction. And I read the series and I went, whoa, okay. But, we've been doing 42 for several years now, and that was actually the suggestion of somebody on Reddit, and I just sort of took it and ran with it. And it's proved to be, you know, one of our enduring classics, and it's something that we enjoy doing every year, and we, you know, we release it every year, and we always kind of have a good time with it. And we had some cool label artwork drawn up by Katie Atchison Wolford out in California, and she did a great job. For Dr. Seuss, it actually, the Behold the Wetsis came about, I was feeling aftershave one day, and I don't know how this idea came to me. But all of a sudden, the phrase, Behold the Wetsis, popped into my head. And I went, okay, we could adapt something to this. And it just seemed to resonate with Dr. Seuss and Dr. Seuss's use of language. And so several of the people who work on our packing and fulfillment team are artists on the side. And they're very talented. And so they put together original artwork in the style of Dr. Seuss for the labeling. And I was trying to capture Seussian concepts in sort of a fuzzy, you know, nebulous kind of way, and I think I managed to accomplish that. As for more whimsical releases, I'm looking at doing one next year that would be based on some classics from children's television, and I'm not talking about, like, silly, cutesy kind of stuff. I'm thinking, like, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which I don't classify as silly or cutesy. Or Captain Kangaroo, who may be a little cuter and a little sillier, but, I mean, Captain Kangaroo, in a lot of respects, espoused the values that I think that we should be teaching children, that we should be kind and we should, you know, we should treasure each other. And, you know, Mr. Rogers was a big fan of the same thing. And so I like to do tributes to these people and their work because I appreciate what they did and I appreciate what they gave us. And likely what will happen as we continue to move forward with these kind of strange releases that are homages to people, to individuals or to various people, is that we'll continue to identify charitable causes that work well with them. And so we will, you know, continue to donate a portion of the proceeds to those causes in addition to what we already do in terms of charitable contribution.
Great.
So,
wow.
As a refresher for Behold the Wetsis, we donated a portion of every jar and every bottle sold to the Children's Literacy Initiative. So we ended up raising, like, I don't know, $1,500 to $2,000 to send to them, which was pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's new? What's coming down the line?
Well, today, this very day right here, we are unveiling a new soap called Terror, patterned, or rather inspired, by the HMS Terror, which was a British gunship lost in the Arctic in the 1840s with all hands who died of exposure, but perhaps was most famous as the ship on which Francis Scott Key was imprisoned when he wrote the poem that became the Star-Spangled Banner in 1814. And so the ship has a lot of sort of strange mythology surrounding its disappearance, and it had been believed sunk to the bottom of the ocean, but it was eventually discovered under 80 feet of ice in the Arctic in 2016, and it has been left there because it would be impossible to remove intact, even though it's been almost perfectly preserved after 160-something years. And as I said, there's a fair amount of mythology around it. There was a science fiction novel written by Dan Simmons, which came out in 2011, I think. AMC has done a series based on that same story. And so it's one of those things that seemed really cool. And with new generation cooling agents, non-menthol cooling agents, all the rage right now, it seemed like it would be cool to produce a product built around this idea that doesn't burn or sting like menthol does. And so what we did was we created a soap that and an aftershave that smell like ice. And that was no mean feat, I can tell you. And so we basically loaded a proprietary blend of these cooling agents into it such that it doesn't burn or sting, your eyes don't tear, your nose doesn't run, but it is very cold even so. It's just cold in a very different way, and I guess I didn't quite realize how different the action is. Your face just, it's like sticking your face in the freezer as opposed to getting blasted in the face by sub-zero wind. So it's still very cold. I would say that it's different from nearly any menthol soap, but all these new gen cooling soaps sort of share this commonality. And it's more refreshing than anything else. It's no longer like, you know, you used to see people on YouTube or whatever shaving with whatever the heck was coldest at that time, and, you know, Cryogen or Yeti Snot or whatever. And, you know, you would watch their faces turn red and their noses run and their eyes tear, and they looked just so miserable. And this is not like that. This is just very refreshing and pleasant, especially on a hot day.
That sounds nice. What base is it on?
This is the Excelsior base.
Okay.
All of our new soaps will be done in the Excelsior base unless we release like a new Barrister's Reserve soap or something, which we're looking at doing at some point in the next year. And, all of our classic line will be changed over to Excelsior. Seville has already been changed over. La Vanille and Le Grand Chypre are next on the list, respectively. And we're basically changing them over as quickly as we can. It takes a little bit to just start to switch your production method for an entire line of soap, but we expect to have them all changed over by like the autumn.
Great.
So,
okay.
It's not going to take nearly as long as the Glissant changeover took, because that also involved a packaging change, and there will be no packaging change here.
What about before we end up here? What's the most popular product on the Barrister and Man inventory right
Seville.
Now?
Seville.
Still Seville.
Has always
still
been Seville, Seville. Will always be Seville.
And your favorite?
Cheshire is still my favorite. Of the Barrister's Reserve line, I used to say the Barrister's Reserve Lavender was my favorite. Now I'm actually torn between Lavender and Waves. And I don't really care for aquatics, so for me to say that about Waves is quite something.
Yeah.
But it's a much older style aquatic than what we smell today. And my problem with aquatics today is that many of them smell alike.
Very good. Well, thanks for sitting down with me, Will. Good luck with the day today. Hope everything goes well. And we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
All right, guys, really enjoy listening to that interview. I always been a big fan of Barrister & Mann, and I still am. I still always try to get in on their special releases and stuff. Great sense, great performance, and just always innovative. So I wanted to do a special shout-out to Will and to Mark for that interview, so thank you guys very much. And we do have more interviews in the future coming up as well. So remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59, and most of all, you guys, the listeners. Without you, there'd be no podcast. So don't forget to check out my blog site, ShaveStraightAndSafe.com, and always feel free to contact me at Joe.WhatShavingNews@gmail.com. Our next show will be the 8th of July. So until then, guys, shave straight and shave safe. Bye-bye now.